We are going to do something a teeny bit different. We just felt like we all needed to hear from the leadership team here. So we're each going to spend just a couple minutes sharing just kind of what we feel like God is speaking right now, and maybe any other impressions. So who wants to go first? I could do eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Scott, you're volunteering? Yay, Scott.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about some of the stuff, but asked us to keep it short, so I'm going to do my best. So just to recap, right, 2020 was a year of faith building, in my opinion. We had our faith tested a lot, and it was supposed to be a year of perfect vision. 2021, I believe, is a year of action and follow through. You know, if we say hindsight is 20/20, the results in doing things differently, if we say that, I mean, it's we learn something, we're going to change the way we're doing it. It means we're going to try to do something better. You know, I do believe that this 2021, even right before 2021, probably around November time, we entered into a new spiritual era. And so that required some responses. I think we're still kind of getting some of the answers to those differences and what we need to be doing. I think some of that happened today. I think the Lord's going to be faithful to reveal those things in the coming weeks and months, strategically as He needs us to respond. So I don't have all those answers. I'm sorry. But what I do know is that we can look back at 2020 and find some of the things that didn't go well, and even not even just 2020, but we can look back at the last era, whatever you consider that to be, but you can say several years in Christendom and in religion and whatever you want to call it, and say these things didn't work well for the kingdom. They might have looked good at the time, but the fruit wasn't there, and that's something that we need to do. We need to take a good hard look at the past going into the future, make a review and assessment of what didn't go well for the kingdom, because it just wasn't what we were in our flesh, or we were doing it out in our own strength or things of that nature. Not saying all things were bad, but there were things, right? So just take that for what it's worth. And it'll lead us into the right direction for the next spiritual era that I believe we entered into. So in James, it talks about faith, and then it says faith without works is dead. And I think that that's the chapter of James we're entering into, with we have to have works accompanied by faith. I think that's why it was important to test our faith in 2020 to figure out where we stand on a lot of this, in the direction that we should go. We say greater signs and wonders and miracles. Our faith has to be partnered with that, and then it has to have action attached to it. So some of that, you know, looks very, it actually doesn't look as complicated as it sounds. This is not a plug for me, but I started a podcast and I've done some pretty amazing interviews with people. I interviewed a guy that is an abortion advocate for pro-life, and a guy who is an anti-human trafficking person, right? And you'll come to realize that there's small things that we could even do at our level that attacks that. And it doesn't take a lot of finances or time. This guy specifically, and I'm just throwing examples out there of things that we need to probably be doing as a church, they go to the ads in Craigslist and Backpage and whatever these other things are where they post these things, and they call the girls and they just say, "Do you know Jesus loves you?" And they get opportunities to minister the gospel to women on the other end of those phones. That's not hard. That doesn't take a lot of time. That's something that we can affect safely. I'm not asking anybody to put themselves in harm's way. And if they have the need to be recovered out of those situations, there's people to do that. And I can help you find those people. And actually, Fayetteville, there's a lot of that. So anyways, that's an example. pro-life, I encourage you to do your homework. I found out that most pro-lifers, it's much like the government. It's all smoke and mirrors. A lot of pro-life organizations aren't actually about abolishing abortion. That's a problem.
Yeah.
We need the abolishment of abortion,
yeah.
Not pro-life. Pro-life just sugarcoats death. Yeah, I mean, so I know that's heavy, but it's becoming aware of what reality is. We cannot be tricked as Americans anymore into believing what people tell us to be true when it's false. And the guy who did, so if you're curious to be enlightened on any of that, I'm going to put a plug in for this. There's two documentaries: Babies Are Murdered Here, and Babies Are Still Being Murdered Here. It will open your eyes to, and this guy got attacked by pro-life organizations.
Yeah, that's right.
It's real.
Yeah.
So making yourself aware of false realities is something that we need to be doing, and then that will catapult us in how to respond as believers and representatives of the gospel. Part of that video that, or something else I saw this week, we need to be willing to cut the head off of globalism.
Yes.
I know this isn't churchy, but it's churchy. It's what the church has to do.
Exactly.
So the spirit of boycotting has to come back into America. We have to be able to say no more to the things that we're funding that are against us.
Yep.
Police literally are paying for their own defunding campaign because of unions. Unions are taking their money and they're funding defund the police. It's time to wake up.
Yes.
So even if it's, I'm going to start just trying to, in my small little influence, tell people on any given day, boycott Amazon. If all of America boycotted Amazon for one day, it would cut their revenue by millions. They would feel the effect. We believe a lie that small differences don't actually matter, and they do.
Thank you.
Giving. I believe that in this next year, we're called to be abundant givers, and I don't mean to the church. If you want to give your money to the church, that's absolutely, you should give a portion to the church. Like that's, but to people. Give your time. Time is harder than finances sometimes. But we need to be abundant givers. We need to bless people. If we've been blessed, and I think that there's a lot of prophecy about the transfer of wealth, and I think the way we partner with the transfer of wealth is to be abundant givers.
Yeah.
If we are going to receive, if finances are going to be transferred from the wicked to the righteous, why don't we start giving ahead of time?
Amen.
Yeah.
And I believe that this year is going to be a year that we normalize the supernatural.
Amen.
Come on.
I believe that this year is going to be the year that signs, wonders, and miracles do happen, but in a very normal way. Jesus didn't have a lot of hullabaloo whenever he performed signs, wonders, and miracles other than everybody wrestling to get at him. I think as people start to see what Jesus wants to do in our world, in our age, in this moment in time, they will start to wrestle and fight for the people who carry that.
Amen.
You all carry that.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be, you don't have to have fancy words. You don't, you know, it's supposed to be easy. And then something that I just want to take a second, because it's a revelation that I just had today, and I'm going to share it the best I can, but revelation comes from the Greek word apocalypto. So what that literally translates is like two parts. It's away from to cover, or an uncovering, or an unveiling. So I think the devil twisted what the apocalypse looks like. Nuclear bombs, war, you know, that's what I've been taught to believe. Nuclear weapons, all of that. What if the real nuclear weapon is in the fact that you realize who you are in Jesus?
Amen.
And that's
yep.
where the apocalypse
Come
starts.
On.
What if the unveiling, which goes back to Donna's word earlier in 2020 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, 18-ish, we can all draw close to him with the veil removed.
Amen.
The revelation
Amen. Yeah.
from our faces. We are being unveiled. And with no veil, we become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah,
that is the revelation. That is the apocalypse
yeah.
Come on.
In the kingdom.
Amen.
Come on.
So, yeah. It's not, the devil hijacks everything. And I think that just came to me this morning. I leave that with you. Meditate on it. Ask the Lord if, you know, what. But the last thing, and I didn't want to interrupt what was going on because it was so great, but does somebody have a right ankle injury? No right ankle injuries? Okay. I just thought I had a vision this morning in the pre-service prayer of a right ankle. Oh, I'll get with you later. Pray for your ankle if you're okay with that. We'll not stop now. So, that's what I think about where we have been and where we're going. And I hope that gives you guys some, you know, wind beneath your wings to sail into 2021.
Yes,
Neil, I don't know what you just said, but it's probably inappropriate, so you hush. Just kidding, I don't know who's next.
Pray for his ankle, too.
Okay, we'll do ankles after we're all done sharing. No, I'll wait till after we're done.
Claire, you want to go next? Go. Yay!
Okay, true confession. I misread the text that came yesterday, and so I'm totally not prepared to do anything like this. But so I'm just going to share. On New Year's Eve, Hillary asked us to just ask the Lord for one word. And the word that I got that night was onward. And, you know, it speaks of your focus and direction and not looking back, but pressing forward, you know, towards the goal. And I was, as I was thinking about this at home, I just was remembering that hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers, which we used to sing when I was a child. In Sunday school, I briefly went to Sunday school as a child. And so I was going to just read the words to that hymn. And maybe first of all, I'll just share this vision that I had during worship. And during worship, it was like we were in medieval times or something, and the army was coming together, was taking formation, which is what I got a word about, I don't know, last year or the year before, but it's like the army is in formation, and I saw like a rider in front of us on a white horse, and I believe that his name is Faithful and True, and he was leading the army, but I saw him just like, he had a lot of hair, and he flung his, you know, he turned back to us, and his hair like flew off to one side, and he goes, onward, like it was like a medieval army. And as I'm, when you said medieval, I'm like, that's what it was. It was a medieval army. Now, medieval has something to do with the, like the, in between the eras. But when I say it, I think you know, middle of evil. Because I think we are in medieval times, right? We're in the midst of at least a revelation of how evil this world is and the mindset of the world and everything. But when I saw him turn around, you know, I was in the army, and I saw him turn around, and he was smiling, and he was like, you know, it was like, you want to be in this army, you want to be following Jesus. We're following Jesus. Eyes are on the commander, you know, listening for his instructions, you know, hearing his voice, going where he goes, doing what he does, saying what he says, but letting him lead the way. Anyway, so here's the song. I wish I had music and could sing it, but that's all right. So, onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. Did anybody sing that when they were kids?
Yeah.
You know, and we'd be marching around the room, so you just go, onward Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Onward Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. That's when it goes on. There's other verses, but it's awesome, and it's powerful. And as children, we used to sing, we used to march and sing, and I think he wants to bring some of that fight back. So that's
come on. You're gonna go. Yeah. Casey, you're gonna. She beat you to it, Hillary.
All right, so the words I wrote down were identity,
yes.
Deliverance, and movement. So if you remember at the beginning of last year, Gabrielle was talking a lot about the voice. We've been talking about the voice being released this year, and we saw it get released. And I don't know if you remember, but right after, you know, the whole COVID thing hit, it was very confusing. Remember the all the messages that were going out, and everything was like all weird and in different directions, and we were all kind of like, oh my gosh, where do we go? What's happening? Where do we stand? I don't know. And it was like this crazy amount of crazy different words. And everybody, we did, and we kind of all were like, hey, let's stop listening.
Yeah.
Remember that? I just think it's really interesting because we actually witnessed the voice coming together.
Yes.
We witnessed it,
yes.
You know, becoming one voice. And as we learned, you know, as we learned who is actually who do we want to listen to, right? As we began to really, God began to reveal who was good and who was bad, I guess. So, and back in July, I had shared a word about Jezebel and how, if you remember, if you haven't heard it, go listen to it, because it's about Jezebel. But Elijah was not afraid of Jezebel. He was actually, he went into the cave after he had just, you know, murdered all these prophets and the prophets of Baal. He went into the cave, and the reason he went into the cave, he said, because the people had walked away from the Lord and they weren't actually following God anymore, and he didn't have the backing of the people. So that he really just felt like he was alone, and that's why he was in the cave, right? And
yeah.
Because he needed the voice of the people, he needed the backing of the people, he needed the church to be one. So he says, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. So basically, yeah, he just hid after that. He went into the cave. And I don't know about you, but it kind of feels like we sort of went into a cave towards the end of this year.
Yeah.
Anybody felt like that?
Yeah.
Okay. But God's answer was, don't worry, I've got 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal.
Wow.
That's in 1 Kings 19:8. So God basically, Elijah couldn't see the remnant, but there was a remnant, right? He couldn't see them, but there they were. And they were kind of hidden. But this year, what's happened? The remnant is waking up.
Yes.
The church is
yes.
waking up. And the remnant is coming forward. The voice is coming forward.
Yes.
And 2021 is about the voices continuing to rise up. But as Scott kind of alluded to this, a greater separation between, and I even wrote it down, the true church, the true bride, and the world, which is going to require us changing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be easy, because change can be painful. It's kind of like, you know, at the beginning of the year, we had the middle ground was still there, and the middle ground just kind of fell out from under us, and we're like this, you know, like, what, where do we stand? You know, that's kind of how it's been, but we actually have to take our foot and get on the right side and stay there and make choices that are going to get us completely delivered, get us completely out of the world. It's going to be painful. And so that movement word is God is saying, get ready to move. Get ready to move. We are moving. Not physically. I hope none of you do. But anyway, you could. God could call you to do that. But spiritually, he's moving the church, and we've moved a lot in our lives, so I know what it's like when there's a movement happening, when we have to move, and I felt it this morning, this grace just come, this grace, okay, we can do this, you know, and the grace comes on us when we have to move, the grace comes on us to, you know, kind of go through the house and get rid of everything that we're not going to take with us in the next move. So we have to do that. We have to look around us, what we're doing, where we're going, how we're doing our life, and we need to get rid of those things that we don't need anymore, you know? Take them away and get ready to move into the new wineskin, because that's what's happening. He's moving us into the new wineskin, and there's going to be miracles.
Yes.
And if you remember, so Elijah wasn't the one that kicked Jezebel out, right? It was, he went from the cave to passing on the baton to Elisha. So that's one of the things we need to do, is start passing on what we know to others. And then God told him to anoint to various people. And so basically, a lot of time goes by, Jehu comes along and it's Jehu. But that time that went by, in that season that went by, there must have been a lot of things that happened that caused people to want to stand on the right side with God, because what happened was the eunuchs were the ones that kicked Jezebel out the window, because Jehu stood at the window and he said, whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? And so those eunuchs were like, hey, I'm with God, right? Whatever was going on during that season got all the way into the courts of the king, to where they're like, we don't want this. We don't want the enemy in our midst anymore. So that's what's coming, guys. Get excited and get ready to move.
Amen.
Come on. Come on.
All right, I'll try to keep this short and not confusing, but I had a dream that I want to share. And it, you know, maybe I won't be able to convey exactly what happened in the dream, but I'll hopefully be able to clearly convey the revelation I got from it, which is pretty simple. So in this dream, I was with my earthly sister, my biological sister, and we were worshiping at like some type of, you know, church worship thing. It was the worship time, which is my favorite part of service. And she was like, my friend is mourning and grieving and we need to go get her a gift. And it was just weird. And so she pulls me away and we go to this like little shop where they're selling all these like trinkets and these, I don't know, these weird little like figurines with little gold wings and stuff. And she's like, we're gonna buy one of these something, you know, for her. Cause she's grieving, like she had lost a loved one or gone through something really difficult. And so I just kept feeling like we were wasting time. And I was like, can you hurry up? Like, pick something out for your friend. I want to get back to the worship set before it's over. I want to go be in the presence, you know? And so we never did make it back there. But it was weird. It was like, I knew that this building that we were in was the church. And like where they were selling these little gifts, this little gift shop was actually in the church. And all of a sudden the scene changes and the person who was there selling all the trinkets had left and taken all of their merchandise with them. And I'm looking at this place, this part of the church building where they were selling, and I'm noticing, so the floor had a white tile and kind of, it was kind of like a kitchen area, like a little kitchenette. The floor had a white tile, and it was the kind of tile that you might see in a bathroom where it goes like a partially up the wall a little bit, and it was like underneath the cabinets. Well, there was a bunch of tiles missing under the cabinets, and I was like, who did this? Did this person who was selling all these trinkets and merchandise, like, bust up stuff, you know? There was like a whole row of tiles missing, and it looked like a horrible eyesore, and I felt like this responsibility, like this must have been my church. I'm like, we need to get that fixed. You know, so that was the main part of the dream I remember. When I woke up, I pulled out the dream book. What's the name of that book?
The Dream Book.
Divinity.
The Divinity Code. If you've never heard of this book, it's a purple book, and it was written by, names please.
Adrian
Beale
and Adam Thompson.
And Adam Thompson. These amazing
from Australia,
these amazing prophetic guys made this Holy Spirit inspired compilation of basically like a dictionary for what things can mean in your dreams, like most of the time, you know. And if there's something that'll have like 10 possible meanings, they'll list all 10, you know. Well, I looked up what a tile means, and it usually is referring to the heart. And I looked up my sister. And that's usually the church or a fellow believer. Mm-hmm. And I just knew, like, it just kind of like struck my brain that, like, in everything that we went through this past year, a lot of us lost some heart.
Yep.
We lost some hope, you know what I mean? And then like, my sister was like, oh, what's, she was all worried about the mourning and the grieving, and we left the presents to go buy the gift for the grieving, and just focusing too much on that. And I just felt like in the dream, like when I saw that the tiles were missing, I was like, we need to fix this. It's not going to be that hard. It wasn't like the tiles were missing that you walked on. We still had a good foundation and stuff to walk on. It was just the tiles that were going up the wall that were more aesthetic for looks. But it's not going to be that hard, you know, for us to put those tiles back on there and get some grout on there and make it looking good again. One more thing that I wanted to share in the dream that I saw was the cabinets. And I don't know what this means, so maybe you guys will get revelation. The cabinets that are right above the missing tiles had some water damage. And they looked like they were kind of like rotting. There's parts of the cabinets. I don't know what that means. But I knew that was like, we need to fix this up. And then when I realized that the tiles were about the heart and us losing heart, I was reminded of a prophetic dream that Debbie Barnes had a couple months ago. I don't remember, which might have been September or something, that she shared, where, you know, there was a woman in a vehicle, and she was holding this important bag, and the enemy was like trying to get in there and steal the bag, and we knew that that was our heart. The enemy was just trying to discourage us and to rob us of our hope.
Yes.
And so I just feel like that's the message I can share for this year is don't lose heart.
Amen.
Keep your faith, keep your hope. It's not as bleak as it seems. And the best is yet to come.
Gabrielle. Isn't a cabinet in a kitchen where you store cups and plates, utensils, tools to help you eat and drink? So it's, anyway, that's what I would think.
Amen. All right, so I've got confirmation of almost everybody already. So I'll repeat just to bring home confirming some of that. I want to start out with, again, 2020, was all about raising our voices, also about, 2020 vision, clearly seeing what's really going on. And we've come into that. And one of the things the Lord said, behold, I'm doing a new thing at the beginning of the year. And so this is still in the making. And so right now, for the last couple of weeks, this is what I've been hearing. It's, a kind of type of exodus, where the Lord is leading us out of bondage, out of an old system, into the new. So this new thing that he's already been talking about at the beginning of 2020. And so I was wondering, when Moses brought people out of Egypt, how long of a process that was, because God spoke to me about it being a process. So some sages said it could have been as long as a whole year for all the 10 plagues, all the way to where they finally crossed the Red Sea. And so the Lord was pointing out about the process and, the pain in the process, the pain in the delay, the frustration, the losing of heart, and the discouragement that we can get into when there is, delay in the process. I'm sure the people, of Israel thought, okay, after the first plague, surely Pharaoh is going to let the people go. This is all about God saying, let my people go, to a tyrannical system.
Yeah.
So, and setting his people free. And so this is, we're right now at crossing the Red Sea type of thing, if you want to compare it to the Exodus. Anyway, so imagine the discouragement over and over and over again, when they thought, oh, okay, Pharaoh is going to let us go, but no, he hardened his heart, and on and on and on. And finally, he's bringing the people to the Red Sea, and even then, it was like, oh my God, here we are, and now the enemy is, pursuing us, and we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, and we're going to perish. And I mean, again, they lost heart and, lost faith. But this is what the Lord was saying through Moses. What did he say? Fear not.
Yeah.
Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. And, stand still. And I feel like this is where we're at as far as, with everything that's going on. And so it's an issue of faith. It's an issue of moving out of the, last level where we've been operating, to where every time there's something happening that is not according to the way we thought it was going to happen, that we lose heart and give up and shrink back. And so he's bringing us to a new level of faith, to where we're able to stand firm, even in the midst of when we're between a rock and a hard place, when everything looks like, oh my God, it's all lost, and that whole thing was all about making his name glorious. All the songs today, again, was just like all with what the Lord is saying here. It's all about showing his glory. The Lord is allowing all of this, to show his glory. So there is an army arising, army. Israel is right there at the Red Sea. They're like an army, and they're getting ready to cross over. This is where I feel like we're at. And then the Lord, has been reminding me of the numbers 1111. A lot of us have been seeing 1111 for a long, long time. And the Lord had given me two scriptures at the beginning of the year concerning that. One was John 11:11, which talks about Lazarus and where Jesus said, you know, hey, our friend Lazarus is asleep and we're going to go and wake him up. So all of this is all about the awakening that we've all been hearing about, about the great awakening. And so the Lord was saying, there is death and there is birthing. So right now, we're in the middle of dealing with death of an old era and an old system, you know, religious system, just world system, and birthing a new era and a new system all at the same time. And the Lord, you know, was saying, you know, when you're dealing with death of a loved one, you know, or whether it's like unexpected or whether it's a longer drawn out process, it's very painful. It's disheartening. It's discouraging. I mean, there's grief. And, you know, when you're pregnant and, you know, you're at the place of birthing and you're going through the labor pain, it's painful. I mean, you know, some women, I mean, you know, get really disheartened in the midst of all of that. But so we're in this dying and birthing, it's overlapping all at the same time. And that's why the battle has been so fierce. That's why we've felt such intense labor and you know, hardship and discouragement. And anyway, so but the Lord was saying that we're not to focus on the death part, we're to focus on the birthing part. The other scripture was Hebrews 11:11, which is about the same kind of a topic. It's all about Sarah and Abraham and the promise that God made them, you know, but Sarah's womb, you know, was dead, and, you know, Abraham was as good as dead, is what it says. But, you know, Sarah believed, this is the chapter about, you know, faith, Hebrews 11:11, but Sarah believed, you know, and Abraham believed, and God honored their faith, and so therefore there was birthing and there was reproduction. And so the Lord is just really encouraging us, yeah, not to focus on the death part, even though this is really real and this has to happen. We even on an individual level, you know, not just our nation or, you know, the old church system, I mean, let me say religious system, you know, everything that has to die, you know, with this old era, in order for us to fully come into the new era and the new system and the new supernatural ways that God wants to bring us into, and the new freedom and, you know, breaking away from the tyrannical system of slavery. I've lost my train of thought. Let me look. We have to focus on where we're going. And I feel like the Lord is really wanting to encourage each and every one of us, if we have been struggling if we've been struggling this year, that God is not upset with us. Yeah. He's not looking down on us. That, you know, and if we're still here, he's right. Saying, well right. Done. Amen. He's right. Saying, well done over us, you know, and we are moving forward. One of the things also, you know, the whole thing with Ziklag and David, you know, where all was lost, you know, the battle was lost, everything was stolen. He encouraged himself in the Lord, you know, and was seeking him and said, Lord, you know, shall we pursue? And the Lord said, pursue, for you shall recover all. And I feel like this is a word for 2021, for us to pursue, because God is promising for us to recover all.
Come on. Come on.
One more thing, with, you know, going through death and birthing is very stressful. Another thing, divorce is very stressful, you know, those are the top three things. And I felt like the Lord was saying, you know, not only are we going through the death and the new birthing, but we're also going through a divorcing veil.
Yes.
The veil system, you know, that we have funded. And so it's time to divorce that bail system. Yeah. And, you know, and that might be another sense of stress, because we're going to have to learn to do life different, because it's been convenient to use that bail system. So change and transformation is always linked with struggle. And an example would be the butterfly, you know, and there again, you see the death, you know, of one system, and then the coming out into the new through a new creation in Christ Jesus, okay? So this is where we're at. And lastly, again, 2020 was, you know, all about the voice, but 21, that one is added, the number one represents the power of God.
Yes.
So the power of God is going to be added to our voice this year, so that our voices, and we can see it already happening, because, I mean, the actual year already started 3 months ago. So in the last 3 months, we could see how the power of God has been manifesting through the voices of his people. So I want to encourage us to be bold to speak out, stand up, speak out. Stop the steal. The Lord, you know, he just gave that to me just a minute ago, but I'm not talking about the nation.
Right.
Stop the steal. What the enemy has been stolen from us.
Yeah.
He's the thief that comes, but to steal, kill, and destroy, the Lord says. Rise up, speak up, and stop the steal. Amen.
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 All right, we did not confer with each other before we shared, so if there's any themes or any repeating patterns or anything, that's confirmation that this is what the Lord's saying. I agree with everything that everybody said. I think, we'll see if I'm right or wrong, I think 2021 is going to be a lot of change and a lot of transition and a lot of upheaval. If Biden wins, there's going to be a lot of changes very quickly, and I think it's going to get very scary. And we're going to have to figure out how are we going to respond to that. There's going to be a lot of change. If Trump wins and a lot of this evil gets exposed, there, you know, hopefully down goes Google, down goes Amazon, down goes all these global corporations that are funding a lot of this evil stuff. And if that's the case, that means lots of change and lots of transition.
And lots of job opportunities.
Well,
business is rising.
Yes, it has to be entrepreneurial mindset, which brings me to my second point. I completely agree with the death and the transition. When Moses was leading the people out of the promised land, they couldn't enter in because they did not have faith. They didn't trust the Lord. So that whole generation had to die out. There was a whole season, 40 years of just wandering and lost, waiting for a younger generation, you know, to come of age to be able to enter into that promised land. And God is birthing and growing up, you know, something in us while killing something else. So Moses actually, he had to die, but something else happened. There was 40 days of mourning for Moses. And I feel like that's the period that we're in right now. It's clear the old life and the old world we used to live in is not there anymore. The veil has been pulled off. We see some things that we cannot unsee now. And the world that we had does not exist in its same form anymore. So there was a period of 40 days of mourning. And then as soon as those 40 days were up, guess what? The 41st day, they stood up, the Jordan River parted, and they walked into the promised land, and it's time for war. It was mourning, and then the next day, war. So it went from nothing to massive transition. And I think that's what's happening for us. And we need to prepare to win. We need to prepare to win. We don't need to prepare to survive. We don't need to prepare, like, sit around and wait and see what's going to happen. We need to prepare for winning. So if Amazon goes down, if Google goes down, what does preparing to win look like? Someone's got to start an IT business. Somebody's got to, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that's going to happen like that. We need to prepare to win in this next season because I think we are going to win. I will end with this. It's a little bit of a longer this. As I was just meditating on this, I couldn't get off the topic of trees. And trees are a really interesting biblical concept. There's three things that are named in the Bible, like more than anything. God is like number one. People, human beings are number two. Guess what number three is? Trees. Trees. They are on almost every other page of the Bible, start to finish. There's one in the beginning and one in the end. And trees are likened to people. They are our mirror image. They're a metaphor, so to speak, right? We are trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord. There was a tree in the Garden of Eden. And in the book of Genesis, it says that God caused the trees to spring forth from the ground. It's the same Hebrew words for God taking dirt and forming and causing a man to spring up. Same Hebrew words. So he's trying to say God took soil and caused a tree to rise up, and then he took soil and he caused a man to rise up. He's making parallels between trees and human beings. And we see that there is a tree of life in the Garden of Eden, which we pretty much find out that's Jesus. We're supposed to eat from that tree. Trees are the only living thing that live in two realms at the same time besides us. They're planted in the ground. They're planted on the earth. But trees, and there's scriptures about this, that they go up into the heavens, right? So the bottom of the trees are on earth, in the earth, actually rooted under the earth. But they go up into the heavens and they breathe in the heavens. They breathe in the air of the sky. It's an analogy of us. We are here as ambassadors planted in the soil. We are seed of God, his representation. But we're also created to live in two realms at the exact same time and breathe in the heavenly air. Get our life from there and get our life from the soil. So these trees, Jesus is clearly the tree of life. Yes. He is a flourishing, abundant tree. In Psalm 1, a tree planted by rivers of water. The righteous man will be like that. His leaf will not wither. So this is really what I felt, and the Lord confirmed this again today. Moses saw a tree burning. He saw a tree on fire, right? I think it's a metaphor, a picture of Jesus, the burning man, the tree of righteousness, the tree of life on fire. And he's like, oh, in Acts chapter 2, we see people who are trees of righteousness, tongues of fire falling on their head, right? So I literally looked at these and I'm like, oh my gosh, tongues of fire, I'm a tree, we're fire. So Jesus is the fiery tree that Moses saw, and we are the fiery tree that God has planted. He put the fire of the Holy Spirit in us, right? So we are supposed to be those things, but during worship, we were singing that you're glorious, and Brandon started singing something about worthy, right? Worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. And I was just saying, God, you're worthy. You're worthy, you're worthy. And this phrase came out of my mouth. You're worthy of me looking like you. Because Jesus didn't just die to get me to heaven. He didn't just die to rescue me from hell. He died to multiply himself in me. Yes. He died to multiply his life in me. So whatever tree that Jesus looks like, a tree whose leaves are for the healing of the nations, who's bearing 12 kinds of fruit, one in each season, he's always a fruitful, life-giving tree. Then I am supposed to be a fruitful, life-giving tree, just like him. And he is worthy of me looking like him. He's worthy of me looking like him. And this is what I feel in the midst of all this. This year is a year of doing. We're going to be, I think, doing more doing than we have done, in this body at least. And we're supposed to be lit up like that Christmas tree. It's a tree. that's lit up. That's what we're supposed to look like. That's what we're supposed to look like. But he is worthy of me looking like him. He's worthy of me looking like him. This was a tough year. I think it's going to be, in some ways, a tough year just because of all the transition. I haven't done as good of a job being planted by the river, flourishing in every season. In every season. And this is the personal challenge for me, and I think this is a personal challenge for you, is no matter what goes on in the world, we should be at peace and we should have joy. We should be the place where people are looking for water and looking for shade from the heat of the day, looking for sustenance. They should be able to see this thing standing tall and go, it's a tree. It's a green tree and it's a fruitful tree. I can come and plant myself under that and eat from it, get life from it. If we are not drawing life from Jesus for ourselves, we have no life to give to other people. And no matter what 2021 brings, that's something that we must do. We must do. We must respond to that wooing and that drawing of the Lord and be those trees that generations of people can say, it's still there. It's still flourishing. It's still standing tall. It's still growing. A seed does not bear fruit unless it dies, right? Jesus planted his very life, his DNA, into the soil. He let himself die so that trees of righteousness, you and I, would spring up. And he did not die so that we, our trees, would not look like his. Right? Stand tall, bride.
Amen.
Right? That's what it is. Okay?